Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Just switched the Wi-Fi off on my phone and went for the update again, and it seems to be downloading, switched itself off, and now it's putting the update on there. It probably cost me a fortune, but I probably feel safer having spoken to Lee doing it. Now, three men have been indicted in the United States on multiple felony charges relating to the 2018 fatal prison beating of James Whitey Bulger, the notorious Boston mob boss who lived a double life as an FBI informer. Now, Whitey Bulger went on the run for 16 years. He was then killed in prison at the age of 89 after serving 5 years of a life sentence. Larry Donnelly is a native Bostonian and law lecturer at NUIG Galway, and he joins us now. Larry, people are very surprised that this has happened. As I said, the killing happened back in 2018. Talk us through the legal process and what occurred overnight.
Well, these three men, Freddie Gias, Paul DiCalogero, the two of them have been charged with first-degree murder. Another individual, Sean McKinnon, who was Gias's cellmate, has been charged with conspiracy to commit murder. And as you say, the great issue here and the questions that linger are, why did this take so long? Why did these charges take so long to be brought, particularly when there is CCTV of Gias and DiCalogero going into Bulger's cell on the day that this happened? The second great question, Claire, is why was a frail, dying man who was 89 years old and confined to a wheelchair, why had he been transferred from a secure facility in Florida to the general population of a federal prison in West Virginia? So those are the big questions that people are asking right now.
And he was killed just a day after he entered that prison.
Not even a day. I think it was 12 hours. Afterwards, Gias and DiCalogero had very strong ties to mafia outfits in Massachusetts who had various grudges against Whitey Bulger. And as you alluded to, Bulger lived a double life as an informant. Both men absolutely hated informants, and in the code that they lived by, that the only punishment for being a rat, as they would see it, was death.
Tell us more about that, because Whitey Bulger carried out his own criminal activities with impunity, didn't he? Because he was feeding the FBI with information on other criminals.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, John Conley and other FBI agents approached Whitey Bulger decades ago because their main target was to shut down the Italian mafia in New England. And they went to Bulger and said, look, if you give us the goods on these guys, then generally speaking, we'll leave you alone. And indeed, Bulger did deliver a lot on the Italian mafia and helped the FBI to effectively shut it down in New England. But at the same time, Bulger carried out an awful range of deeds, multiple murders. He also flooded his home neighborhood of South Boston with drugs. And, you know, the lives that he ruined and that his associates ruined are incalculable. And, of course, there was a great morality play at the time because his brother was one of the most powerful and widely respected politicians in Massachusetts.
And John Connolly, that FBI agent that you mentioned there, after his retirement, he continued his relationship with Whitey Bulger, didn't he?
He did, yeah. I mean, the reality here is that Connolly had always looked up to Whitey Bulger, as did so many people from South Boston. Connolly's a South Boston native, because there was this myth around Whitey that he was actually a good guy, that he did good things for people in South Boston. So for Connolly as an FBI agent to be tasked with dealing with Whitey Bulger, this was almost an honor for him. And he developed a deep personal loyalty to Whitey Bulger that I think led him very far astray from his duties as an FBI agent. And indeed, he himself is serving a long term in a federal prison now.
This story of Whitey Bulger and what happened to him back in 2018, it's a big topic still of conversation. I mean, where you're from, this will be top of the agenda today.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Whitey Bulger and the discourse around his life and times, you know, there's a Boston Irish movie genre, and it's really centered around Whitey Bulger, and people in Boston remain fascinated by him. I think a lot of people on the outside would probably have some sort of sneaky regard for him, but I can speak personally as somebody who grew up around there. Whitey Bulger was a real, real bad guy, and any of the myths to the contrary are just myths. But certainly today in Boston, There's only one thing people are talking about. There's only one story that's leading the newspapers and TV, and it's what's happening here now and what's going to happen.
Has something happened? Has it been a change in law enforcement or a political change that has led to this indictment of the three men?
I'm not so sure that there's been a huge change overnight that's led to the charging of these three men. Certainly, the culture in the city of Boston has changed a great deal. There would be no possibility of such a relationship between organized crime and law enforcement now. In the city of Boston, the city has changed greatly. The stuff that's kind of celebrated in these Boston Irish movies, those days are long gone, and that's a good thing. But the big questions around these three individuals, I think, remain. And I think that ultimately, the Federal Bureau of Prisons in the United States is going to come out of this looking very badly one way or the other.
All right, Larry, thanks very much for joining us. Good to talk to you as always. That's Larry Donnelly there. Now, coming up next, it's almost back to school time, and with that comes after school activities. But for many people, the money just isn't there for extras this year. Jen Hogan will tell us more.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.